We continue our learning. L'nishmas David ben Menachemish and Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Elio. We're in Yos Perek Vav Mishnah Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda ben Rava he'id chamisha dvarim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Rava testified to five things, five areas of halacha. This Mishnah happens to be quoted in Maseches Brachos as well in the Gemara. Shem ma'anim es haktanos. The first halacha has to do literally means that ktanos. There are times where girls under bat mitzvah, we will ask them to refuse their marriage. Now, what are we talking about? So on a Daraisa level, we mentioned many times that a father has the authority to marry off his daughter. That is considered a marriage that's Daraisa. May not be ideal that he does so. Certainly without her ratzon, she should be willing. But nonetheless, that is a marriage that is Daraisa. If a father's not alive, so if a mother or brother marries the daughter off under bat mitzvah, that is only a marriage midrabanan. And once she hits the age of 12, at that moment we ask her, do you want to stay married? And she has the right to do what we call mi'un. She can refuse that marriage. She does not need to get at all because she was not married midoraisa. And she refuses the marriage and she walks away from the marriage. The case of the Mishnah is where we have two brothers married to two sisters who are Yesomos, which the father had passed away. So as we'll see, that the marriage of the Ketana, at least, is not Doraisa. And there are the two daughters, the two sisters here, are orphans, but one is over bar mitzvah, one is under bar mitzvah. One's a gedola, one's a ketana. One is married to, and these are two, so let's say we have Reuven and Shimon married to Leah and Rachel, respectively. And, but let's say Leah's marriage to Reuven, that's a marriage d'oraisa. Why? Because Leah got married, she's, let's say, 15 years old, 20 years old. She is, the father is not alive, but her marriage to Reuven is an absolute marriage d'oraisa because she's over bat mitzvah. But Rachel was married off to Shimon on a d'rabbana level by the mother or the brother. She is, let's say, 8 years old or 10 years old, so her marriage is only mid-rabbana. That's how we set up the case. What happens now? So unfortunately, Reuven married to Leah, where the marriage is d'oraisa, Reuven passes away. So what happens now? There's a potential mitzvah of Yibam to take place. Yibam between whom? Well, between Shimon, who's the living brother after Reuven passed away, and Leah, who is the sister-in-law, whose husband was just deceased, just passed away. The problem is that Shimon is married to Rachel, and Rachel's marriage to Shimon is only midrabanan because she's under bat mitzvah, and the father was not the one who initiated the marriage because the father's not alive. So now what Shimon is to perform Yibum with his sister-in-law Leah, who's over bat mitzvah, whose husband just passed away, Shimon's brother. So that is Yibum d'oraisa. The problem is that she is an erva. She is Achos Ishto. She, Leah, the one who is to perform, he's supposed to perform Yibum to, is the sister of his wife. The problem is, now, if Shimon were married off to this ketana where the father married her off, which the marriage d'oraisa, or let's say where she was over bat mitzvah, so the marriage would be d'oraisa, then there's nothing to talk about. There'd be no mitzvah of Yibum at all because it's Achos Ishto, it's an erva, and there's no Yibum, and that's all. But here, on a d'oraisa level, there is a din of Yibum because Shimon's marriage to Rachel, Leah's sister, is only d'rabanan. So there, on a d'oraisa level, the stronger pull is the Zika, is the bond to Yibum, rather than the marriage that he has. So what do we do in these circumstances? We ask the Ketana, this 8-year-old, this 10-year-old Rachel, to refuse the marriage she has, to do miyun to the marriage she has with Shimon, since the marriage is only drabon, and she can get out of that without a get at all, so that Shimon is able to perform the din of Yibum on a d'oraisa level with Leah, with his sister-in-law. That's what it means, shemima'anim es haktanos. We plead with the ketanos, we ask them to refuse the marriage, so that now Rachel's out of the picture, not married to Shimon at all, and now Shimon, not having an erva, not being married to an erva of the Yavama, of the Leah, he's able to perform Yibum on Leah. Then the Mishnah says, what else? V'shem asiyin esha ish al pi'ed echad. Another halacha we've covered, that we allow a woman to remarry, even though there's one aid, even though typically we need two aidim to testify. A woman whose husband went overseas and one aid comes and says that her husband passed away, we allow her to marry based on that testimony, because the Chachamim are lenient when it comes to Takanas Haguna, so she not remain in Haguna, unmarried, and this way she can be released from that marriage, even based on one aid. Why do we allow such a thing? So we assume that here, the woman is not going to, she understands the ramifications of getting married to someone else. If her husband now shows up, she'll be ushered to this man, the new man, and her husband, and if she has kids from the new marriage, it'll be mamzerim. So we know she'll check into it to be sure, absolute, that her husband had died. So one aid is sufficient in those circumstances. Vishenizkal tarnugol b'yushalayim al shaharagas aravesh. Halacha number three that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava testified about, that there was a case of a tarnugol, of a chicken, that killed a baby, unfortunately, pecked into his brain and killed him, and they gave it skila, al sharagas hanefesh. Now, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Well, the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, v'chi yigach shor es ish o es isha v'mei sakol yisakel ashor. There's a halacha that we give skila to a shor, to an ox that gores and kills a person. So the chiddush of the Mishnah here is that even though the Torah says a shor, an ox, it applies to any behema, any chaya, any oaf even. How do we know that? So we learn a gzera shava, shor from Shabbos. Just like when it comes to Shabbos, the Torah says the word shor, an ox, but it says v'shor chava chavruchavu chabehem techa, your ox, your donkey, and any animal. So too, any time the Torah writes the word shor, I can assume that it includes kol behem techa, just like when it comes to Shabbos. It's not only shorcha, but also chol behem techa. So too, when it says shor elsewhere, I assume it includes other animals as well. Behema chaya v'of. And therefore, this halacha that the animal gets skila for killing a person will apply even if it's not an ox, even any other animal, even a bird, and in this case, the tarnagol, and therefore the tarnagol will get skila. Halacha number four. Val hayayin ben arboim yom shenis nasech al gav hamizbeach. The halacha is that wine that we put on the Mizbeach should be based on the pasuk in Parshas Pinchas, Hasech Nesech Shechar Lashem. We need Hasech Nesech Shechar. It has to be Yayin HaMeshaker. The wine that we put on the Mizbeach for wine libations, for Nisuch HaYayin, should be wine that's intoxicating, which we assume has to be at least 40 days old. So that's what he's saying. Yayin, that's our Ben Arboim Yom, if it's at least 40 days old, so then that wine is acceptable to pour on the Mizbeach. However, b'di'evad, the halach is, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, daf tzadi zayin, if you brought yayin that's less than 40 days, the b'di'evad, the nisuch hayayin on the Mizbeach is going to be kosher anyway. And halacha number five of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is, val tamid shel shachar shekarav be'arba sha'os. The tamid shel shachar, that it was sacrificed at 4 hours into the day. And this is what we learn based on this Mishnah, that in Adios, that we should really be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. This is different Rabbi Yehuda, but following the same thing, that we should be davening a shachris, l'chatzchila, shachris shmonesei, up into 4 hours into the day, and not like the Chachamim say till chatzos. Now, what was he testifying about? The tamid shel shachar was brought till 4 hours, and that obviously we assume that shachris tefillah should be till 4 hours, but the tamid shel shachar, what were the circumstances upon which he was testifying about? So that was the days when the Syrian Greeks took over Yerushalayim, and during that time, they, in order to get the sheep that they needed for the Karban HaTamid, they would send over 2 jugs of gold outside the walls of Yerushalayim, so that they would send over the wall 2 kvasim, one for the Tamid Shel Shachar and one for the Tamid Shel Bein Harabayim. And there was one time that they sent over the 2 kupos, and they sent over not kvasim, but rather 2 goats. At that time, they couldn't use goats. They have to use sheep. They have to use a keves. So it happens to be Hashem showed them that they happened to have 2 sheep that had been inspected already in the Lishkas HaTloim, in that special chamber, the Beis HaMikdash, where they had the sheep, and they had to be inspected 4 days in advance. So this was done. They didn't realize they had sheep there, and they happened to find them. So the Rambam explains, it was the Tamid Shel Shachar of that very day that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was testifying that was offered at 4 hours into the day. Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis. Hey, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Nechanya ben Eli Nasan, Ish Kfar HaBavli, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Nechunya, the son of Elinasan Ish Kfar HaBavli, testify the following. Al Aver min HaMeis Shehu Tamei, that an Aver, a full limb of a dead body, is Tamei. What does it mean, it's Tamei? It's Tamei like a mace itself, even not only touching and carrying, but even in an OL. So what's the chiddush here? So normally we'd say a kezias min hames. Anything less than a kezias min hames is not mitame ba'oel. So if you need a kezias, at least the size of an olive, of a mace, in order to be tame ba'oel. Nonetheless, if it's a full aver, it's a full limb, could be, let's say, from a baby, very small, less than the size of a kezias, that will mean tame ba'oel, even though it is less than a kezias, because it's a full aver. Who disagreed with this? And the Mishnah says, Sherabi Eliezer Omer lo amru el al aver menachayr. Eliezer said, interestingly, that this halacha only applies that it's mitame if it's an aver menachay, if it's a full aver from a live person. That's tamei when it's a full aver. But if it's min hames, then it needs to be a full kezias, even though full limb. But if it's less than a kezias, it's not mitame. That's what Rabbi Eliezer had said. And Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Nechunya came along to say that we don't follow Rabbi Eliezer. We hold that an aver min hames, a full limb of a mace, even less than a kezias, it's mitame ba'oel. Amrulo, and they said to Rabbi Eliezer, v'halo kavachomer. It's a kavachomer that our halacha should be the accepted one, that an aver min hames should be tamei. Why is that so? They said like this, uma min hachai shehu tahor, aver haporesh mimenu tamei. A live person is tahor. An aver, a full limb that separates from a live person, has the status is considered tame, even though it's not a kezias. So, but yet the live person is tahor. So kavachomer then if hameishu tame, a dead person which we know is tame. So eino din is not a kavachomer shiya aver haporish mi'ana tame. So then the aver that separates a full limb, even less than a kezias, that separates from a dead body should be tame. Isn't that kavachomer? Think about that. If a body that's alive is tahor, yet you're telling me that a full limb, even less than a kezias, that separates from a live body, has the status of tumah. So then a full body, which is tameh, that's dead, certainly if you separate a full limb from it, less than a kezias, should be tameh. So amalahem, so Yonah Rabbi Eliezer responded, lo amu el ha'ever menachai, sorry, there is no tradition, there's no kavachomer, and there's no tradition that an aver min hames, if it's less than a kezias, is mitameh, you need a kezias. Yes, an aver min achai, a full limb, even less than a kezias, is tameh, separated from a live body. But that's a mesorah that we have, and it doesn't apply to an aver hames. The kavachomer, we don't learn that kavachomer. Davar acher. So another answer that we have that Rabbi Eliezer responded in order to reject the kavachomer, to tell us that the chai, the live aver, the live full limb, even though less than a kezias, is more strict than the live than the full limb of a dead person, less than a kezias, because merubet tumas sachaim, itumas amesim. Because I'll show you that tumah in general, we're more strict when it comes to tumah, when it comes to live people, than dead people. Is that really so? So the Mishnah says, yes. Shehachai ose mishkav umoshav mitachtav letame adam letame begadim. Think about this. Take a zav as an example. A zav is a live person. A zav, a high level of tumah, an ava tumah. We know that he's mitame tumas midras. Anything he leaves on and lies on, any kli underneath him has the same status that he does. So let's say he's lying on top of 100 mattresses. So the bottom mattress, all the way below there, is not even touching at all, is tamei, and it's tamei the same level as he is. Not even a lower level tumah. Normally when you touch something, it's a lower level tumah. No, he's an avatama, and that 100 mattress underneath him is also an avatama. So that's a very high level tumah. That only applies to a live person. And not only that, so that and that becomes tameh, an avatumah, since it's an avatumah as well, il mitameh adam v'kelim. Even not only foods, even a person and vessels become tameh from that mattress that's all the way underneath him. V'al gabav, not only that, if you have a zav, and there's a kli on top of a zav, let's say you had 100 blankets on top of him, the zav makes them all tameh. And not the same level. level as the mattresses and things, blankets that may be below him. But nonetheless, Madaf means a lighter level of Tumah. But nonetheless, they are Tameh. To what level? The Tameh Ochlin Umashkim. Those blankets become like a Rishon Tumah, and therefore they can make food, a drink, into a Sheni Tumah. So maybe not the same level as the mattress below him, but certainly a level of Tumah above him. Masha'en Hames Mitameh, meaning what? If you have a dead body, and underneath him you have Kalim, or above him you have Kalim. How much is the Mase Mitameh? He's Mitameh, the mattress, dead body. The mattress, the 100th mattress below him is Tameh? Absolutely not. 100 blankets above him. The 100th blanket above him is Tameh? Absolutely not. How much is a Mase Mitameh? Well, let's think about it. Three levels. Mase is an Aviavos HaTumah. Okay, so take the first thing that he touches. The Kli he touches is like the Mase Atzmo, is the same level as the Mase, depending on what that vessel's made of. And that, the Kli below that, the mattress below that, is going to be Mitameh, the next level. Become an Avatama. And that's Mitameh, the Kli below him, a Rishon HaTumah. And other things that, okay, but that's about it. Because after that, once a Kli is a Rishon HaTumah, the only thing that can be Mitameh is Ochlim U'mashkim. But a Kli can't become a Sheni L'Tumah. So three levels, and that's all the Mase is going to be Mitameh. So you see that a live person, like as a Zav is an example, Yoledes, Nido, etc., can be Mitameh, is more strict. So therefore, it's not a Chiddush. So once again, Masha'en Kein HaMase Mitameh. So says Rabbi Eliezer in response to Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Nechunya, it's not such a chiddush to say that a full aver less than the size of a gezeis that comes from a live person is mitameh, and yet a full aver less than the size of a gezeis that comes from a dead body is not going to be mitameh.